Okay. All right, it's recording now and I'm going to stop my video. Okay, so the first question is, I just want to know a little bit about you and your relationship to the Gulf Coast Fund. Like, how did you get involved and what was your role?
Okay. Well, I was a community organizer in New Orleans during that time. A mother of two generations, a son, Brandon. I think at that time he was about 20 years old, and I had a daughter that was six. That was prior to Hurricane Katrina. And so I was working at the time with the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, and that's an organization that deal with undoing racism in the context of community organizing. I was a regional coordinator and a core trainer also. And immediately following Hurricane Katrina, organizers kept organizing. I also led what they called at that time was New Orleans Organizers Roundtable, which facilitated bi-weekly meetings at the People's Institute with leaders, organizers, agency representatives, just coming together who had been to the Undoing Racism Workshop, wanting to follow up and how can we begin to develop community organizing strategy. So after Hurricane Katrina, it just became easy to stay in contact with those people who basically were similar people that had been a part of the Gulf Coast Fund, long-term organizers. So we all kind of knew each other based on our mutual works.
Okay. So can you describe the fund in your own words and what it was for you?
Yes. The fund was basically a affinity group from Rockefeller Foundation that focused on climate change and ecology. Monique Harden in New Orleans and Dr. Beverly Reich from Xavier University had already been in contact with Penny and Annie in reference to some work they had been doing. So that was kind of how we all got connected, because Monique was a part of the organizing collective in New Orleans. So the fund was basically resources that were being raised and brought together to impact those, to have some impact of those who might not have traditionally been able to access funding, to be able to get resources directly to them with minimal, you know, proposal process. And because we were community organizers, we had an idea of who those people were that didn't normally get money, organizations that we were a part of that was doing the work to keep the organizing, trying to find people and making connections with each other to be able to have some funds for our organizations to continue it while we were waiting to even ground ourselves after Katrina.
What made the Gulf Coast Fund different from other funds and other recovery efforts for you?
One, it consists of relationships with on the ground people, and they had other connections with people, or the organizers through different social justice affinity groups, It was different because not only did it was about raising and providing funds like a one-time thing, it built on current organizing. It built on people who normally would not be organizing resources, but they gave us the opportunity to know people beyond New Orleans and Baton Rouge. We met people in the Gulf Coast and Mississippi, so in Alabama and Florida, and was really supported by Southwest Workers Union. So it kind of grounded a new movement that incorporated more of climate change and global warming, but also integrated into the ground grassroots organizing.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think it was important to involve all of these community leaders in the decision-making process in the funds?
Because everyone had a unique strategy and everyone had some history about the groups they had worked with. And so there was no one of us who had all the stories. Mm-hmm. And so again, because we all came from grassroots organizing backgrounds and community organizing backgrounds, it made sense. It made sense. And because we were probably the few people, because these, you know, whether it was Mississippi, the Gulf Coast was definitely.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm losing your audio. Hold on one second. There you go. You're back.
I should have turned that phone notification off, but hopefully you won't come back on.
Okay.
Something in my throat.
It's okay.
Okay, so it just made sense to organically support the efforts and expand the efforts of those who had already had contact with each other, relationships with each other in social justice and community organizing, and who could outreach and get to those who had the greatest needs.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think were some of the key achievements of the fund and how it reached people?
Money, resources. I'm not just saying money, because we also had caravans of cleaning up and meeting people. I think the greatest one was to be able to organize people who had not even known each other to broaden the organizing base. And so even the people who were impacted, a lot of people were organized, began to start doing organizing, taking leadership themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to bridge connections with groups that even in our own backyard, like the Vietnamese community through Vela, the Homa Nation Indians, groups that would have not been a part of any work we've done, only attended meetings together. But I think that was the uniqueness of the mm-hmm. Gulf Coast Fund, the mm-hmm. openness to not only respond to the needs, but respect what everybody brought to the table.
Yeah. You know, the fund in its priorities, it really focused on cross-cutting and multi-issue grant making. Can you describe what that means to you and why that like cross-cutting and multi-issue grant making is important?
Because cross-cutting and multi-issue, and issues are, people have a lot of issues,
mm-hmm.
but multi-issue grant meeting, it meets the real needs of real people. There's never one issues that's mm-hmm. impacting marginalized community or communities that are mostly impacted by, whether it's a disaster economically, due to climate change, socially marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one issue,
mm-hmm.
and so to have cross, because we are now becoming communities based on all these challenges that are now looking. It's less segregated mm-hmm. when you are marginalized, and particularly after Hurricane Katrina, people were displaced, so we would find ourselves living among people who we only probably in the fringes dealt with. So mm-hmm. it makes sense. It makes sense when you're saying we are working with families, because we're not working with individuals. Everything should be done in the context of communities and in the context of crossing and integrating other types of cultures and ethnic groups in what we're doing, because it's the same impact.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get a broader view of what other solutions are there. And for example, some people have a cultural thing of not wanting to leave because they have a different ownership to the land, and it kind of helped us to see why our elders, that land was important. So it gave us a historical value of why it's important to maintain what we have, and the mm-hmm. importance of broader view for some of us who may, who were not, I mean, I was in community organized, but there were a lot of people I work with who had no idea about climate change and how these hurricanes we've had over, I know in my lifetime, 40 years, that it had something to do with it. So that cross understanding was so important.
Mm-hmm. This is the last question. What advice would you give to communities facing recovery? And there's so many now, from natural and human-made disasters. And a secondary question to that would be, like, what advice do you have for donors who want to support them?
It's not one advice for people who are facing that now. I was talking this morning. For people, I was talking to a friend this morning, you know, the fires that's going on in California, mm-hmm. the earthquakes, the floods, the hurricanes, everything that's impacted by climate change, that it's important that we hold on to the immediate compassion that we have in the aftermath. We kind of sustain that a little longer. And be able to take that moment to help each other, continue to help each other. Because even though it shows the worst of the conditions we are facing, it shows the best of a human heart. Mm-hmm. And the compassion and the sharing that happens in the midst of these catastrophes. And it also brings about cross education about, so we could not just be in our own silos, that we are all in it together. And you could literally see the results that I know personally of the people who I think it grounded. I just really believe the Gulf Coast Fund in its efforts to reach all of us, I believe that it brought a lot of us together, and that kind of seeded, in the aftermath of Katrina, seeded a lot of movements that you see now, political movements, but now people have already established relationship, but I think it spread it.
Mm-hmm.
And it impact not only our generation, but our younger generations who were probably about 3, 4, 5, and 6 at that time, who are now taking leadership because there was not only those of us who, I'm 58 right now, but there were other younger generations that were leaders that were a part of us that kind of did leadership development as a part of what happened in the aftermath of Katrina. I would, that's key. And that's something that I could see the results today. I could see the same people and was there in the first U.S. social forum that was held in 2007. Many of us were a part of the organizing base, but I think the Gulf Coast Fund kind of took leadership in making that happen to bring a broader awareness. And that's for people who are not just organizers, who want to find themselves having a sense of their power in the midst of something that seems to be so disempowering.
Mm-hmm.
The donors, and that's the other thing I loved about working, because I've always worked with organizations and foundations through the People's Institute and other work I've done over 38 years. But what I saw from this small fund, how you raise funds from many factors. I mean, mm-hmm. donors of not just giving for one-time events, because we see right now it's not a one-time event. It's not just looking like a hurricane or a tornado. It's fires. It's so many recurring throughout the year that you never stop raising funds, never stop challenging people, but also get resources from people who are impacted so they could feel some ownership and investment and less of being the recipients of charity.
Mm-hmm.
That resources should be given not only to help people get out of there, intervene in an immediate situation, but see the empowerment process that people could now know, get some information and resources how not to find themselves at least in a similar situation, but begin to build infrastructure in those communities so it's not constantly being barraged with the impact of global warming and the catastrophes that result, and being able to stay strong like the Gulf Coast Fund helped us to do when the government does not know what to do. We could still begin growing through local efforts that spread out as opposed to it being top down mm-hmm. and funding that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm back.